Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You have been claimed by Poseidon, Earthshaker, Stormbringer, Percy Jackson, son of Poseidon.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Percy Jackson Prophecy. It's a podcast dedicated to the Percy Jackson book series and show on Disney Plus. So let's hold fast and brave the storm. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Reese.
And we are so excited to be delving into the second episode of Disney Plus's new series. What I loved about this is they actually released episodes 1 and 2 on the very same day. Buddy, why do you think they did that? Why do you think they dropped 2 episodes at once?
I have no idea why they did that.
Daddy is joining us here. He's going to be sharing his dad's details in a little bit. And because you're sitting here with us in the studio,
sure.
Of course, knowing that this show is spoiler free, why do you think Disney Plus decided to drop two episodes at once?
Because they left off the first episode on a very intentional cliffhanger. If they're trying to keep the episodes to that half hour to 35 minute range, there's no way they were able to tell that first story, that first episode, without really getting into that next episode. It wouldn't have felt complete. It would have felt like, okay, this is really cheap and cheesy if they were going to keep doing the whole cliffhanger thing. Mm-hmm. So I think they wanted to tell a good, complete story that helps propel us into the remainder of the season.
And rather than, like you said, I mean, here we are in the second episode. We find out who his dad is. It's Poseidon. I agree with you. If they just had episode 1 by itself and then a week in between, people would have just been like, all right,
yeah,
we already know who dad is. We've already figured this out. Yeah. So for people who wanted to watch the two episodes together, they could do that rather than having an epically long one episode.
Totally agree.
I like this. And buddy, when you watched these episodes with your class, did you watch both episode 1 and 2 in the same day, or did you watch them on different days?
So we watched both on different days. So the first one we obviously did 7 days before Christmas break, and the next one was about 2 days after.
Okay, so you watched them in subsequent days. Mm-hmm. That's cool. We, of course, watched them broken up as well, but I bet most of the listeners of this podcast and most of the viewers of the show got to watch them back to back. Well, on that note, let's get into the show. Reese, will you start things off for us and tell us the episode title for episode 2?
So I think we're going to be delving into it.
Nope. What's the title?
I become Supreme Lord of the Bathroom.
I become Supreme Lord of the Bathroom. What an epic title, of course. Something that I wouldn't necessarily want for myself. I don't want to be called the Lord of the Bathroom.
What? It's potty humor.
We talked about it in the first episode with the Minotaur's underwear and Gabe's toilet problems. The potty humor in the Percy Jackson series continues, and I'm here for it. I am here for it, especially knowing that our lead is 12 years old. Reese, you, my amazing co-host, you're 10 years old, going to be turning 11 soon. Do you find potty humor, like the Supreme Lord of the Bathroom, do you find that funny?
Yeah. But can I say something? Are we going to meet talking toilets next?
I don't know if we're meaning talking toilets.
I'm not gonna lie, my love. I find potty humor entertaining. Right? So and I'm 40, so it's worth it.
Okay, let's skip past the potty humor.
What I like about this episode, for those of you who are listening in the future, this is the episode where Percy wakes up and he's in the camp's infirmary. He gets to meet Mr. D, who's the camp director, and sees Mr. Brunner is part horse, which means he is a
centaur.
And his actual name is
Chiron.
So this will be interesting. Are we calling him Chiron in the show? Are we calling him Mr. Brunner in the show? We're going to find out. And of course, Percy doesn't get claimed until the end of this episode. So while he's waiting, he's hanging out with the kids in the Hermes cabin. He gets to meet some other campers like Luke, Clarice. He gets to learn Annabeth, meets all these different friends. They do capture the flag. Percy gets claimed by his dad, Poseidon, and he gets told about this epic quest that he is going to have to go on because Poseidon is asking upon his son to help retrieve the Master Bolt because Zeus thinks that he's done it. And of course, Grover says, I don't think your mom's dead. I think she's just hanging out with
Hades
in the underworld. So before we delve into this episode, it is time, of course, for Dad's Details. We've got Reese's dad, Blake, who I usually podcast with. For friends who don't know, Blake and I have a series of other podcasts. We podcast about the Harry Potter series. We cover Outlander. We cover Bridgerton, loads of other shows. And Dad is here to give his details on some of the episode stuff.
So the writer and the director are the same from the last episode. The director was James Bobin, who was the A director for this show. And the writers were, once again, Jonathan E. Steinberg, who is the co-showrunner of Percy Jackson, and Rick Riordan as well. So it's an interesting the creative team is still the same, although that usually happens because these episodes are shot in what's called blocks, and generally you'll have a director and a writer and an editor and maybe even a director of photography or a person who's in charge of all the lighting. They'll work on certain blocks of episodes, like episode 1, 2, and 3, or episode 1 and 2. And then concurrently, you'll have other people working on other episodes, like a new writing staff or a new director working on episodes 3 and 4 and so on. So that's what's called blocking, and they're writing in blocks. But what I do want to say, Mary and Reese, is the thing that I have noticed about this show so far, the lighting is spectacular.
Do you know what he's talking about, Reese, when he's talking about the lighting? Give us an example of what you think Dad's talking about.
So with the Minotaur scene, it's not like there's
so
too
in
much
this
of
episode, for example, episode 2.
Yeah. I think in the capture of the flag, it wasn't too bright, it wasn't too dark, it was just the amount of sunlight. Like, it was covered by trees, sunlight, mm-hmm. and it's they make it look like it's not just light coming from above, like millions of them. It looks like a single sun that's getting blocked out from the trees. Right. I think that's the way you're talking about
that. I'm absolutely talking about that. And how
about all the firelight? We had campfires
and
candles.
Yeah, excellent stuff. They're allowing the firelight. I mean, it's kind of an illusion, but they're allowing the firelight to illuminate our characters, which is really important, right? And it's also, it also shows what's coming, right? Because they're going down, or they're at least they're going to be having a conflict ostensibly with Hades, right? So it's showing that that's where they're headed. And another thing that I really noticed too is the coloring. If you go back to the conversation that Percy was having with Luke about parents and getting claimed, they're actually in front of what appears to be Poseidon's temple, right? That blue color.
Let's be real. It's a tealish blue.
Tealish
my blue. Favorite of the colors.
And it is awesome how they are, again, just showing you straight up right away that Percy is Poseidon's kid without you even knowing it. Right? They're having it in front of these conversations. So that tealish blue with the orange shirts, it's playing with what's called the color wheel.
Mm.
Right? The color wheel is the wheel upon all which color exists. And every color has an equal and opposite of itself. And wouldn't you know, orange is the opposite of
blue.
So how cool is that? That this whole all the shirts are orange.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't fit in. necessarily.
Because you mean like his shirt doesn't fit?
Well, even when he wakes up in the infirmary, he's wearing blue. He's wearing a blue shirt.
That's right.
What does blue go with white?
Yeah, it goes with it, but the opposite of it is orange. So these are things that when you're watching the show, you really need to pay attention to, because these are opportunities that the storytellers are giving you to see the story outside of what is being said or with the way that it's being shot. It's what's called it's alluding to what's coming ahead.
I love it. Well, thank you, Blake, for your dad's details. Do you have anything you want to say, Reese, about what he's brought up?
No.
Awesome.
No.
It is time for our Trident reading. So we, of course, rate each episode of this show on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being the absolute worst, we're talking Gabe's toilet time, to 5 being the best, finding out who your godparent is. Oh, my goodness gracious. So last episode I gave a 4.5. I am bumping this up to 4.6. I will tell you, I really liked this episode. I am feeling it in many ways, but I like to leave a little wiggle room because I feel like it's just going to get better and better. But Reese, after we watched this episode together, I asked you right away, buddy, what's your Trident reading? And what did you say?
5 all the way.
5 all the way. All the way. You are here for it. This has so far been, you liked this one even more than the first. And of course, now it's time for our GBGs. Our GBG, what does it stand for, Reese?
Good, bad, and great.
Good, bad, and great. My good for this episode is the humor of Mr. D. Mr. D's humor got me laughing. It also got Dad laughing. Do you remember how much Dad was laughing?
I know.
Where he was just like, Peter Johnson's here. You know, so I absolutely loved Mr. D in all the different parts that he was in this episode. He made me laugh. My bad was the amount of times that Percy was pushed down during the capture of the flag scene. I feel like had that been my body, I would have had broken bones. I would not be getting up. I was going, ooh, ooh, ow, ow. Granted, Percy is 12 in this episode. So fine. He's got some resiliency. Also, he's half God. He's a demigod. Fine. Even more resiliency. But as a 41-year-old woman, when I saw him falling onto pebbles, being pushed down into bushes, I was feeling the pain, thinking how much Advil I would need after this. Granted, there's good news at the end, but please send me back to the infirmary. I need some help. And then my great for this episode was camp itself. Camp Half-Blood needs to be a place that I can go. I actually just learned today that there are Camp Half-Bloods around the country that people have created things. So we're going to look into this more. I don't know if there's one necessarily near us in Rhode Island, but Camp Half-Blood, I loved listening to the loons. You pointed out that we could hear the...
It looks like New Hampshire a bit.
It looks like New Hampshire. It looks like Maine. It looks... For those of you who are not in the New England area of the United States, this is what camping looks like for us here, right? We've got the lakes. We've got the loons, which we hear when we ourselves Reese camp in Maine, the canoes, the beautiful trees. So you and I were feeling very much so at home.
Getting the New Hampshire vibe.
Getting the New Hampshire kind of vibe. But I especially loved all of the stained glass in the room that Mr. D hangs out in.
Also,
if I could be sitting in that room overlooking the lake, listening to the loons and reading a book and having a hot cup of cocoa, ultimate heaven. Ultimate heaven.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Just you, those listeners who don't know Greek mythology, Mr. D.
Oh, yeah.
He is Dionysus.
Yeah, so we're going to go into that because I think that's really important. After we do our GBGs, I would love to hear a little bit more. So, Reese, what were your GBGs? What was your good, your bad, and your great?
So, my good about this episode is Clarice gets blasted with funky toilet water.
Funky toilet water. Oh.
Percy doesn't know this yet, but he...
Oh, we can't do any spoils.
I know. Percy doesn't know how it happened.
Yeah.
It's just... So he's getting shoved into... He's getting his face nearly shoved into a
toilet.
What's
that called again when your face is in a toilet? Isn't it like called a swishy or a flushy?
It's called a flushy. So that includes more potty humor part.
That's right.
So I'm just thinking, Percy, what are you doing? You can't get shoved your head into the toilet water. So
that was your great, is that Clarice gets blasted with toilet water. Oh, sorry, you're good. What was your bad?
So my bad. Percy has to go to a quest in the underworld, for God's sake. Why? He's like, I do not want to do this.
Would you want to go on a quest to the underworld?
Yes.
You would? You would rather leave a beautiful camp like that, listening to loons, playing Capture the Flag?
I want to prove myself.
Okay, you would like some glory as well. And how about your great? What was your great?
It's called Kleos.
Kleos, thank you. What's your great for this episode?
My great. He gets claimed by Poseidon. Finally, Percy gets a sign that his father is noticing him.
As Lizzo would say, it's about damn time. Now, like, what?
It's about damn time.
Why did it take Poseidon so long? He's ignored his son.
What? Is he slow like a snail?
I, you know, snails, some snails are in the water, so I would believe that. All right, so we've got our DBGs. And friends, for those of you who are new to our podcast here at Mary and Blake Media, we, of course, love to hear your feedback and your calling in. So we do have some listener feedback that we're going to check on out in a wee little bit. But before we do all of our listener feedback, we're going to delve into this episode. And Reese, you just brought up such an important thing. There are 12 cabins for 12 gods at the camp. This is something that we learn. And I need to go over who these people are. So let's at least go over the ones that we've met. So we meet Poseidon's son. We know Poseidon, Zeus, and Hades.
We don't meet Poseidon yet.
Well, no, we meet his son. So Zeus, they said, is pretty much in charge, and he has a master lightning bolt.
And he's rude.
And Poseidon is the sea god.
Good nature.
Hades is the god of the...
underworld, and he's
and
very
the
crude.
Underworld means what? For people who don't know.
But the underworld means for people who have...
People who have vomited?
Died.
Okay, so people
beheaded,
who have died.
Killed!
So Hades is in charge of the dead. Poseidon's in charge of the sea.
Good nature.
Zeus is in charge of pretty much everything in the sky.
P.S. Zeus is kind of rude.
Okay, well, we're gonna make our own opinions on that. Thank you very much. Mr. D, Dionysus is the god of what?
And he's what the god of wine. But for now, he's the god of cola.
That's what he's drinking is cola?
Yeah.
What else? Is Dionysus just a king of wine or is he a king of other things? And friends, I'm asking these questions
He's the king of other stuff.
Because I'm asking Reese these questions just off the cuff. I'm testing your knowledge, Reese. We didn't prep this. Do you need me to look it up or do you know some other things that Dionysus is
the king
of?
He's the god of wine, party, theater, and big cats.
And big cats?
Yeah.
He was wearing a shirt with tigers on it.
Yeah, we're not big cats.
Okay.
We're not kitten.
Okay. Okay.
So what the heck?
Okay. Are these quotes from the book? Or no, you're just okay. So he's the god of especially wine
and big cats.
And Zeus tells him you can't have any more wine, so that's why we see him with a cola bottle at first. Okay. Then we also meet Mr. Brunner, who's now named, we're maybe going to be calling him Chiron, but he's not a god. We meet Luke, who is the son of
Hermes.
And Mr. Brunner Chiron tells us that Hermes is the god of travelers.
What about...
So he lets a lot of people in, including the people who haven't been claimed yet. Then we meet Clarice.
The daughter of Ares, the god of war.
Ares is the god of war.
And
then we meet and violence?
Blood.
Oh gosh. That's like my least favorite thing in the world.
And combat.
Mm. Ferocious. I'll tell you what, I would not be a daughter of Ares.
Me neither. And then I would be Hermes.
And then we meet Annabeth, who is the daughter of
Athena.
And Athena is the god of?
She's the goddess of wisdom, battle strategy, and cooking.
Ooh.
Writing.
Ooh.
And she's also god of architecture. That's really got me. Athena's like a full-blown god. Does she care about building? I like that.
And is there something else? We have our little lass here. Is there something else that Athena is the goddess of while you're here? Quick.
Athena is also the goddess of arts and crafts.
Oh, yes. Thank you. High five for that. Can't forget that. So those are the gods and goddesses that we are introduced to, or they get referenced in this episode. But as I said, there are 12 cabins, 12 Olympian gods who potentially have children. So I think we're going to meet more of them. And Reese and my little lass, Felicity here, know a lot about Greek mythology. So I'm going to be counting on you all very much. So Dionysus, as you said, he was a god of wine. But now he's hanging out. Now he's hanging out as the camp counselor. What did you think of him when Percy Jackson walks in And he says, excuse me, I'm Percy Jackson. And he says, Peter Johnson's here.
Very dumb.
Do you think he was being dumb?
Yes.
Or do you think he was being rude?
Both.
Ooh.
Can but you be dumb? And... dumb.
Okay. Yeah, I was not impressed by that, and yet...
He's supposed to be cheery. And he's cheery in the myth, as cheery's a cherry, but...
But not in this show.
He's sour as a sourpuss.
Because he probably doesn't get to have his wine as he was trying to have Percy get for
him. Sourpuss.
Yes. And Mr. Brenner comes in and he's half horse.
Me!
And half horses, of course, are centaurs.
Centaurs!
And he talks with Percy a little bit because Percy is worried that he lost his pen. He feels that he lost his pen a little while ago. And what does Mr. Brenner say about his pen?
Check your pocket. Percy says, no, I lost it. And Mr. Brenner's like, check your pocket.
Yes.
And then he says, as long as you surrender it, it'll always find its way back to you. And then...
And that's what he found out, right? Percy has it later on. He finds it in his pocket then. He finds it again when he's doing the capture the flag. So this is a magical pen that he can't lose. And I got to tell you, when I was 12 years old, if you had left me in charge with a very important pen, I probably would have lost it. How do you do with pens and pencils, buddy?
I lose a lot.
Yeah, so the fact that this is a magical pen that keeps coming back.
Good.
Even if it wasn't a sword, I would want this pen. I feel like that is super great. Percy says he feels alone. He just looks alone. He feels kind of unloved. And then he gets to go into Hermes' cabin, and his bed is on the floor.
Oh, my God.
But inside his bag,
he
finds blue candy.
Blue and what, jelly beans.
What is important about this blue candy?
It's something that his mom always used to give him. When he was small, he was sad. She'd give him some blue jelly beans, say everything's going to be fine.
And that's, of course, something that you know from the book. And we are keeping these episodes spoiler-free. But just know that... The blue candy is really expanded upon. It's very meaningful that his mom gets him this blue candy. And this is the last thing he has of his mom, right? With him right now. This is the last thing that he has with him in this bag. And he's in this cabin. And then this big kid comes up, Luke. And
Luke
he says,
Castile.
I'm sorry what happened. I know what you're going through. And he ends up... really kind of befriending and taking Percy under his wing. He says, you know, we're going to find out what you're good at.
He's actually a really, really good guy.
Yeah,
like Luke. He has just a friendly, good-natured vibe from him. When I first see him, I'm like, this guy's got a good vibe.
He does. He takes Percy and he takes him to do archery, which Percy, sadly, is the worst at. And you pointed out something that I love that this show did. So with this show... The students, the children at the camp, they're all various ages, but they all seem to be, you know, relatively of school age. They are all different shapes, all different sizes, all different colors, all different nationalities. And we even see the first student that we see taking archery, who is doing a flaming arrow, might we say. Is in a wheelchair. And I think that is so cool. I think that is so great that they're able to showcase people with different abilities. You know my sister, so your Aunt Jeannie is frequently in a wheelchair. And so it's very important for people to see themselves on screen, to feel that connection. So I love that they showed not only, because that person in the wheelchair, she could have been anywhere, but no, she was rocking and rolling the archery, which I think was so
neat. I know, and I think that girl is Apollo.
How come? He's Apollo's child?
Yeah. God of Apollo, Apollo the god, he's the god of light, poetry, art, music, archery, and et cetera.
So you think because she was so good that she's probably a daughter of...
Oh, and his music.
I think I might be a daughter of Apollo then. All right, so we've got the archery. We've got...
poetry.
What does he do where he's hitting that metal, that hot metal?
Hephaestus.
What? God bless you. What did you? Did you just sneeze? What did you just say?
Hephaestus.
What does Hephaestus mean? Hephaestus
blank.
A person.
He's a god.
Okay.
He's the god of mining and metalworking. He's the god of craft. He's the god of
And he's one of the gods that we blacksmith. See at the end credits when they're doing all of that art yeah. deco almost. Okay, so that child, that student there hitting the metal, doing that the craft work, he most likely is a child of Hephaestus's, right?
And his hands are just like bursting the gloves.
And obviously, Percy does not do well with that either.
Second hit, it just flies off and burns clothing.
Good luck, buddy. So Percy's on his own mission, and Grover goes into the woods, and out pops this woman who's like a tree woman.
Dryad.
What?
Dryad.
What is a dryad?
A maiden of the woods.
A maiden of the woods. Mm-hmm. Now, she acted very caring of Grover. Where do satyrs come from?
Nature spirits, gods alike.
So satyr, so Grover is a satyr, which is a half human, half goat.
Goat.
Am I supposed to feel that satyrs' moms are dryads? Is that a possibility? Because this one
it
seems
is.
Like a
actually,
mom.
It actually is. In the myths, they have mothers as dryads and naiads.
Okay. So maybe we can feel like that was Grover's mom, the tree woman, or at least someone who was like a mother figure for him because she's telling him, oh, you're so hard on yourself. You're picking at your little horns again. Let's stop doing that. And then she points him inside this cave. It is the Cloven Council, and it's all other people who are maybe satyrs, and they end up telling Grover some really important information. They end up telling him what?
And just
what do they end up telling him?
That's Sally Jackson. Oh, this is a spoiler free.
This was all in this episode.
Well,
when the Minotaur squished her, she didn't squish like a banana.
An old banana with a bad pupil. She evaporated. Hades reached out and stole her before she died.
So. That is super important. Grover knows a squished mortal usually is a bit messier than evaporating into dust.
It's all just guts, blood, and brains, heart, everywhere.
Which luckily Grover said in a much nicer way as squished banana, because blood and guts and everything makes me nauseous. Yeah. So I appreciated that Grover said, I think they'd be a lot more squishy inside. By the way, as I'm watching this, I think I'm Grover. I think if I had to be a character in this show,
yeah,
I would
be a satyr.
Yeah, so far I'm pretty sure I align best with Grover. I think that's how I would describe squishing
He's
somebody.
He's nervous and everything.
And he goes up and he tells Mr. Brunner Chiron and Mr. D, hey, guess what? I don't think Percy's mom's dead. This is big news. Percy's depressed. He misses his mom. Can I please tell him? And they, Mr. D and Mr. Brunner say,
no!
They say no, and they say that the truth can be very dangerous. And they said, we want you to steer clear from him. They're actually telling him, you cannot go near your best friend.
No, Dionysus.
And you cannot tell him the truth. Because the truth can be dangerous. And I hate this for Grover. Grover has tried to do the right thing. He already had to lie to Percy about Mrs. Dodds and all that other kind of stuff and being half goat. Okay, he's done lying to Percy. Please tell the truth at this point. Percy then, after his day with Luke, he's having this dream and he's sitting by a fire and there's a voice.
And a ghost.
And the voice says, I know how you feel.
Wait, no.
You
can
want
I
justice.
Do a quote? Can I do quote it?
You want a quote?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay, as long as it doesn't give any spoilers because I know you read all this stuff. Ooh, yeah. Okay, are you going to get into your voice?
He left you here. Left you with nothing. I know how you feel. You want what's been taken from you. You want justice.
Now, Reese, along with all the book readers, most likely knows who this person is. Okay, you're not going to tell me because it's a spoiler, but do you know who it is? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to guess as my mere mortal theory of the week because...
Okay,
you want me to save it for the end?
It's at the end, yeah.
Okay, I'll save it for the end, but that will be what my mere mortal theory will be. Percy wakes up. And Luke comforts him and says, hey, buddy, don't worry about it. We all have intense nightmares. We all also have dyslexia, which is when he couldn't see the words on the paper. We all have ADHD. We all have difficulties paying attention. But here's the cool thing, Percy. You're like everybody else for the first time. We all have this. You don't need to be embarrassed. And this made me feel so good because when you're at this age,
Luke
is
comforting him when he feels so bad. Luke says, I know how you're feeling. I've been through this before. I've felt this. I feel your pain. I know how to help it too.
You and I were talking earlier today about how important it is to have that with classmates and to have it with friends at camp or friends that you have in the neighborhood. how important it is to have those connections, to have things that you have in common every once in a while. You don't have to have the same things in common with every friend of yours, every single thing, because that'd be boring. But to have some things in common is super important. And I love that Percy gets this, because he's, in the previous episode, he said he always was alone. He was always sitting alone at the lunch, and he was always being told by people, you're weird, you're wrong, you're special. And here's Luke, this cooler, older
19.
Yeah, guy, saying, it's okay, man. You're just like all of the rest of us. You don't have to be embarrassed anymore. And they go on this quest for glory, which you said we now need to call the word
Kleos.
Kleos. It's such an important word that even as the kids are walking off for capture the flag, they're chanting Kleos. Clarice pushes him and she does all this mean stuff.
Stay down.
We learn about the burnt offerings. Ew. Tell me more about this.
So the burnt offerings in the Percy Jackson series is when a specific camper, the cabin, comes up to the fireplace and burns the most delicious part of, they think, of their dinner.
So you take a look at your dinner. You take a look at your dinner plate. Like, so let's say it was a Thanksgiving meal. What's your favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal?
The cranberry ripest sauce? Cranberry sauce.
Okay.
And the bun. And you're looking at them like, I'm going to miss this. You walk. So this, here's what Luke say.
Okay.
So you burn what you most missed, and then that's get their attention, and they'll listen to you.
Can you go back for seconds to go get what you miss? Like, if this was you, Reese, and you had to give your cranberry sauce to the gods as a burnt offering,
no.
Are you allowed to go get seconds at least? Everyone, just picture that. Over the holidays, your favorite food that you just ate.
And I'll bite it. I'll bite it before.
Have to give it to the gods as an offering, because the gods can tell that that was important to you, and that's what helps them listen to you. And what's interesting is that we get a scene with Percy, and what is he burning?
Blue jelly beans.
And when he's doing that, he's not speaking to Poseidon. He's not speaking to his dad. He's talking to his mom. Oh my gosh. As a mom myself, I'm sitting here tearing up because here he is burning his sweet little jelly beans.
The ripest one, actually.
Oh, the ripest jelly beans. As if a jelly bean could be ripe. And he's trying to talk to her. And he's saying, you know, he can ignore me,
and then
but he can't ignore you.
So, and then he gets all sinister. He's making himself too much.
He's getting intense, but then he goes home. He's walking home from
he's like getting way too much. He's talking a little too much. Okay, if I was right there, I was saying, man, you're putting a little too much on that. You gotta just cool down a bit. I know.
Well, his mom just died 2 days ago.
I know. I was saying,
he hasn't really been able to cry that much yet.
I'd be saying, I went through the same way. I know how you're feeling, man. It's just, you got to tone it down a little.
Are you telling me that if I died, you wouldn't burn two jelly beans and try to talk to me? What food would you burn? What was your most important food if you wanted to talk to dead mom?
All the Reese's Pieces in the world.
Oh, wow. I feel honored. I would smell that peanut butter and I would come and visit you for sure. And I would definitely listen. High five for the peanut butter lovers. Yes. Okay. So on Percy's way back from the blue candy burning, he bumps into Clarice and the bullies in the toilet situation, which you, of course, said was your good. And Clarice is saying, I want you to tell me that you made up the story of the Minotaur. And if you don't, we're going to give you a flushy. Why does Clarice want him to admit that he did not defeat the Minotaur? What's the big deal out of this?
I have no idea why she's doing it.
You don't know why Clarice thinks this is a big deal? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I think it's a big deal. In the very beginning...
Hey, wait. I think I know why.
Okay.
Clarice feels like, if this kid kills something else big, I am going to be looked over. I think that's who she's doing it to him. She's doing this to him because she doesn't want him to get all big and powerful.
Has she killed a Minotaur before? Probably not.
Nope.
Right? Grover, in the beginning of the episode when Percy's waking up, Grover looks over to the Minotaur horn and he's like, Percy, this is a big deal. People to know that you did this.
Grover, you.
And no, I think that that's really
cursey
kind of Grover.
Grover.
No, that's great. Grover went and like made sure that he had the horn because he knows that Percy's a big deal and he wanted people to know about this. So,
and it went a little flip-flop.
It didn't get the effect that Grover was going for. Annabeth, of course, is watching the entire time. We learn a little bit more about her, knowing that she's the daughter of Athena. She's always a couple steps ahead. And also we learn about her relationship with Luke and how Luke kind of protected her and helped come along with her with this girl, Thalia.
And can I give a little moment to explain who Thalia is?
Oh, I would love that.
So Thalia is the daughter of Zeus.
She's another forbidden kid.
I think her smell was been too big for a monster. Percy's got to be a little. Percy's got to be big, but a daughter of Zeus, the full-blown King of Olympus? Ugh, you reek like 6 million poops.
I don't know why we're talking about her smelling bad. I picture her smelling like a pine tree.
Oh, yeah. And that might... sad story.
Wait, no, we'll talk about...
I want to get into it.
No, that's next episode. I already know that part because you told me about it. So she's a forbidden kid. She's Zeus's daughter. And she, Luke, and Annabeth are on their way to camp with their satyr. And sadly, Thalia got killed. And it's been something that's bonded Luke and Annabeth ever since. And he compliments Annabeth. He says she always is 6 steps ahead of everybody. Whatever team she's on, that's the team that I want to be on. I'm always on her side.
And she's like a little sister to me. And they're basically half siblings.
Why?
Their dad, Athena and Hermes' dad, are both Zeus. But they're both from different mothers.
So everybody's like cousins in this show.
Not exactly. Poseidon is just... So everyone else here is basically kids of Zeus. Poseidon, just straight out of it.
Okay. All right. I like that. He has his own family tree.
And all, guess what happened? It just went down one bit.
it's just Percy right now. So they start playing capture the frag. And Annabeth takes Percy away. Luke's doing his thing with all the other warriors. And Annabeth puts on this hat that she got from her mom, which makes her completely...
invisible.
Which is super cool.
I think that also relates with the Harry Potter invisibility cloak thing.
What do you mean?
Harry has his own invisibility cloak. And he could just put it on anytime he has it. And Annabeth, I think she has... the same too. Whenever she has it, it's in her bag. Harry has it all around his bag too. And whenever they're doing something they want to do, but they know that Annabeth is just doing this for show, Harry does it for a good reason.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah. Thank you, Hagrid. And Annabeth's just doing it for show. Harry does it when he needs to. So I think that's just the kind of difference, but I'm just referencing.
But you're
that.
Finding that, yeah, being that Harry Potter is another one of our favorite series, you're saying that you like that there's something that they have in common. Annabeth leaves Percy and she's like, you'll know what to do. And instead, Percy does the floss.
And then?
Then he pees.
Ew.
Let's be real. Toilet humor, potty humor. I'm here for it. You're here for it. High five for potty humor.
And then he just starts stroking a lizard.
A little salamander. We do not have those things here in New England.
Aww.
Whatever those little salamanders were. And then Clarice comes up with one of my favorite quotes of the episode. She says,
yeah,
glory is fine.
Can I do it?
Oh, please do it. Yeah.
Yeah, glory's fine. Revenge is more fun. Then she just slams her spear down and it just crackles with electricity.
That's what it was. It was electricity inside that thing.
Yeah.
That thing was just frightening. And I would have done what Percy did, which is after he was pushed over, ran away. But then he gets pushed again and again and again. And then he's pushed on pebbles.
And he gets slashed.
And what Clarice says to him, she's like, I don't want to maim you. I don't even want to kill you.
I'm not actually interested in maiming or killing you.
Yeah.
I just want you to admit that you're a fraud.
Now, what does that mean?
A fraud means a git.
Keep going. What else? Do you know what a fraud is? I can help you.
No.
A liar. She says, I just want you to admit that you're lying. Lying about what? Killing the Minotaur. That is what Clarice is so mad at Percy about. She has never killed a Minotaur. She's never killed anything even close. She is jealous. So she said, I don't want to maim you. I don't want to kill you.
I want you to
admit that you lied about killing the Minotaur. That's what I want from you. That's why she's chasing after him so much.
And Percy just said one thing. He just crossed his fingers behind his back. He would have just gotten away. Clarice let him go. He'd be able to go back to the flag.
Do you think that's in Percy's personality, though, to lie like that? I don't think so.
No, to a big bully like Clarice, I would have done that. I would have crossed my fingers right behind my back.
Buddy, I already told you I would have ran away, so that's okay.
I would strike Clarice down with my sword. I'd be stabbing every single one of her.
We're not supposed to maim or kill, okay? Now, of course, we find out throughout this whole process, Percy gets thrown in the water, his wounds heal, we get the trident above him, everybody's shocked because not only is he being claimed, which in and of itself is a big deal, but he's being claimed by one of the big three. And we get the voiceover, so we get Chiron's voice, Poseidon, Earthshaker, Stormbringer. So we get all this voiceover and we get these cool scenes of Percy now moving into the gorgeous teal house.
And it has these kind of prehistoric skeletons.
Yeah.
And his bed's made of water? What the heck?
it looked like a plesiosaurus hanging from the ceiling.
Not a plesiosaurus.
What would you think it was?
Like a...
That aquatic dinosaur creature?
Like, it looked like a dinosaur, yeah. It looks like a baby mosasaur.
Oh, okay. I can be down with that. So he's there, and it's a big deal that he's a forbidden child. He says that you are your father's only hope to find the Master Bolt. What the heck is a Master Bolt, Kaiman? I need a little bit more explanation. Thank goodness we have Reese Larson. What is Zeus's Master Bolt?
The Master Bolt is the weapon that Zeus... used in the War of the Titans. If you guys don't know that myth, I'll be
I do not.
So that myth.
Can it be a quick myth?
Okay, I'll just do it. So basic moral, Zeus is like in a family, whereas all of his sisters and siblings are, brothers and sisters, are being swallowed by his dad, Cronus. Cronus had killed his father to become king of the Titans. They both, all the family escape. Cronus, in fact, has to vomit them out.
What?
Cronus, in fact, has to vomit them out so they can escape. And there's like a big skedaddle thing with the war and stuff, but Zeus, Poseidon, Hades get their weapon choose of choice. Poseidon, the mighty trident. Zeus, Hades, particularly, just with a helmet.
And he just wants a helmet?
Yeah.
He gets the worst gift.
And, okay, I'm just going to be like Hades.
No.
Why?
Thanks, Dad.
Why?
And then Zeus gets a lightning bolt.
People say in the myth that it's lightning bolts, but okay. It's just... lightning bolt.
Okay.
So if he lost it, he'd be like, where is my thing? He just could have lost it. And
they got this after defeating Cronus.
Yeah. Okay. And then,
why is this lightning bolt such a big deal?
Because.
Is it like his favorite weapon?
No, it's not a favorite weapon. It's the most powerful weapon. It has more destructive power than 80 nuclears.
Okay, now I fully understand the extent of this. I'm still a little lost in the
Cronus
thing.
It's the weapon that sliced Cronus to bits.
Yes, okay. So we have to not only return this bolt, 12-year-old little kid who just figured out
what
his dad is.
What if Zeus just lost and misplaced it?
Yeah, what if he just misplaced it? Come on.
It's only one thing.
Okay, but he has to do it within 1 week. They have to do it before the summer solstice.
How can you do that?
Or else there's going to be massive war. By the way, you have to leave immediately. Bring a couple friends. Oh, and by the way, you have to go visit Hades.
The worst family relation ever. You have to visit your uncle in a place full of dead people.
And Percy does what I am so proud of him. He says to Mr. Brunner and to Mr. D, he says, no, Poseidon ignored me.
He's
the worst.
Yeah.
I'm not his son. I'm Sally Jackson's son.
And then Mr. D says, who's Sally Jackson? And Percy is just enraged.
Yes. And he says, Sally Jackson was my mom. She stood by me. She cared for me.
Can I do that quote?
Sure.
She's the one who cared enough for me to call herself my mother. She's the one that took care of me all this time. And
then Grover comes in and he tells
Sally Jackson is alive.
And he says she's alive. And here's the cool thing. She's in the underworld. And that's where they want you to go anyway. So let's do this. And
Percy says, when do we leave?
Yeah, he's ready for it. So on that note, it is time for listener feedback. Remember, friends, you can head on over to maryandblake.com, click in the top right corner where it says contact us, and leave your voicemail. You can also email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. First up, we've got in studio Felicity.
Hi, my name's Felicity. And what I liked best about this episode was because Percy's team wins Capture the Flag. And I was super happy about that. And my bad is that Annabeth pushed Percy because I wouldn't like to be pushed in cold water.
Me neither.
And my great is that Percy breaks Clarice's spear, so Clarice won't be able to stab him.
He gets to stab her.
That's a good call. That way she can't be playing around with that anymore. Thank you so much, Felicity. And here is our next caller.
Hi, Mary and Reese. This is Kevin from Canada, and I'm excited to start listening to another one of your podcasts.
Yes!
First, I wanted to comment about something you guys talked about on your first episode. Reese mentioned that it can seem kind of silly to see a statue with their clothes on, especially for people his age. But what I think the episode did really well was showing Percy looking at the art and not laughing. I think it set a good example for younger viewers. Percy knew that the statues were gods, and so he was amazed by them even without their clothes. I think this showed that even if something seems silly on the surface, that it can have a deeper meaning too. Now my GBG for episode 2. My good was when Percy thought that he didn't have anywhere to go, but then Hermes ended up being home for the unclaimed. This actually reminded me of the Harry Potter series when Helga Hufflepuff says, "I'll take the lot and teach them all the same." My bad was when Percy kind of felt sad about his mom at the beginning and Grover didn't know what to say or how to help. It reminded me of sometimes in my own life when my friends are sad and I can't find the right words to help them feel better. And then my great was actually two Luke moments. So the first was when Percy thought he was about to get picked on by Luke, but instead he extended his hand and introduced himself and ended up being a good friend. My second was when Luke said, when it's time, he's going to be ready. And then it cut to Percy doing a bunch of silly things like flossing and taking a pee. That really made me laugh. Thanks again for the podcast, and I'm so excited to join this quest with you.
Aw, Kevin, good to see you again on this podcast. Again, it's just good to hear your voice. All the way from Canada, That's just right. So good to see you.
Yeah, Kevin is another listener of our Harry Potter podcast called The Potterverse.
And he mentioned with me on that, actually, on that episode, I was with you on the Harry Potter podcast.
Yeah, so... what did you think about Kevin saying that the Hermes cabin reminds him a lot about Helga Hufflepuff?
That is a good relation. Mm-hmm. I think if Hermes ever had a wife, that would have to be Helga.
Helga Hufflepuff and Hermes would be quite the pair. I agree with you, buddy. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, it is time to let you know about one... Oh, it's my mere mortal theory of the week, right, buddy?
Yep, it's a okay. Mere mortal theory.
So my mere mortal theory of the week. Now, of course, I haven't read these books. I am learning as I go. I'm talking about the voice when Percy's having that vivid nightmare dream.
I know
and
how you feel.
Oh, yes. Say it again to me. I'm going to digest it.
I know how you feel. You want what's been taken from you. You want justice.
Okay, so with the characters who I have been exposed to so far, I'm going to agree that it'll be Hades who is saying this to him. Hades, now that Reese tells me all he gets is a stupid helmet, I think that he would want something better. He also has to deal with the dead people, and that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. So if I had to put my mere mortal theory of the week on who that voice is right now, I'm going to say I think that is the god of the underworld, Hades. And we're going to find out who it is in the future. Well, we want to thank you all so much for hanging out with Reese and myself in this second episode of the Percy Jackson Prophecy.
Woo-hoo.
This episode and all of the subsequent episodes are going to be in all of the podcast apps. So if you listen on Apple Podcasts, we are there. If you listen on Spotify, we're there. We're on YouTube. We're all over the place, my friends. So make sure that you take a listen. And if you know someone else who has enjoyed this series or they're watching the show along with you, feel free to share along with them because podcasts actually get learned about when friends tell friends about them. That's the way that people learn about podcasts. If you've already shared this podcast with someone else, thank you so very much. And also, don't forget, we want to hear your voice, just like we got to hear Kevin's from Canada. How did it feel for you, buddy, to hear someone's voice?
To hear Kevin's voice familiar from Canada, I'm like, oh my God, here he is again. When I was in this podcast.
That's
thank
right.
you, Kevin, so much.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you for other people who call in. So you can call in by going to Mary and Blake. Remember, Blake is my husband, Reese is my son.
Woo-hoo!
MaryandBlake.com and click the Contact Us button to leave a voicemail. The voicemail will be 90 seconds or less. Say your first name, where you're from, and of course, then you could share other insight, just like what you got to hear on this podcast. Well, until next time, Half-Bloods. I am Mary Larson.
My name is Reese.
And remember,
hold fast and brave the storm.
That's right. This music's a little creepy.
I know.
I wonder why your dad picked such creepy music.
I think it's from the area with the voice, huh?
I know what you're feeling.
Okay.
All
let's
right.
just close out.
Let's
guys.
Close.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hold fast and brave the storm.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.